Dissolution by Stefan Molyneux. freedomain.com/donate. Chapter 20. Robert awoke with a start from endless dreams of German discos. He had been crowd surfing through discordant house music, rave, techno, all the stuff in his son's taste in music that drove him insane. Surrounded by smoke and lasers and willow-limbed gyrating dancers in floating cages, and a skinny armed woman had reached up to catch him, but her mouth had opened as wide as a trap door, and he had fallen into the bottom back of her drug-dry mouth as her blue lips closed behind him. And he woke in the vague dark of a midnight hospital. The beeps and burps and whines of life monitoring, no longer life-saving, equipment echoed around him, going in and out of sync in maddening atonal rhythms. Sleep was hell these days. Robert remembered once waking up after a frat party at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He had a little grandfather clock on his wall that chimed randomly, and he'd slept through all that, and the grinding passage of the garbage truck, and the thumping bass of the 90s party soundtrack that had been put on to energize the cleanup. And he had awoken with a full bladder, an aching head, and a cotton mouth, but he had slept for 11 hours, no break, and no vivid dreams, just the kind of vague foreign language previews that teased him with the possible value of recalling and ruminating over, but which sank like a kicked beer from a pier into the shallow lake of the past. And he awoke back then in a state of almost perfect blankness, with the self-consciousness and empty purpose of an indifferent cloud rolling through the sky in an invisible midnight. This was before all the unease, the complications, the endless variables that shifted and booted his nervous system from highs to lows in coruscating ripples that should have been subtitled with seizure warnings. Robert was plagued by the belief that happiness could only occur when everything was going right at the same time. But that never happened, so Robert was never happy. He spent 6 months grumbling over a pulled tendon from a squash game. When that got better, he got a strange growth on his neck that turned out to be excessive sun exposure cured with frozen nitrogen. Then his wife got a lipoma. Then his youngest son stopped eating. Then his eldest son had a weird, massive conflict with his friends over whether Roseanne Barr should lose weight. Then one of the two air conditioners in his mansion broke and froze over. Then his rear balcony started leaking and he had to spend $20,000 to repair it. And Helen took on the inevitable fight with the insurance company and almost lost before Robert strafed in with his legal powers. And then... There was always something askew, something that needed to be fixed. Someone who desperately needed to be talked in or out of something essential. And Robert felt like a circus performer shot out of a cannon at dawn to land spread-eagled in his bed at night, shaking slightly and humming like an eternal tuning fork, opposed to all the atoms that lined up forever to thwart his simple will. And like all middle-aged professionals, he had Amish dreams of buying country land and learning how to farm, and pulling calves from giant vaginas, and shaving down his gut by hurling bales of hay high in a dusty barn, and staying up late reading paper books by candlelight, and finding out what on earth sheep dipping was, and why hay had to be left for weeks in tight cylinders in plowed fields, and all the mysteries of growth and distribution that fed all the stressed-out city dwellers. And Robert broached this dream with his family, occasionally, tentatively, but Helen just laughed at him and held up her stiletto heels. And his son said that the internet sucked total ass in the country, and how the hell were they supposed to game over DSL? And it all became impossible. And Robert became slowly possessed of the great and deep fear of the provider, that he was a barely tolerated wallet, a conveyor belt of free things rolling squarely towards those who rolled their eyes at his mere existence. And I still have 20 years to go, he would think dismally, staring at his phone in the middle of the night as the fan wind washed over him. And then 20 more after that. Death did seem comforting in a way. When I was young, I had money and getting laid worries. Now I have professional worries. And I can see the health worries starting to emerge, like hungry gophers dying for a meal. And then my parents will get old and need my help. And my gums will recede. And I will have money. But nothing I can buy beats being able to sleep for 11 hours straight at the age of 21 and wake up to a blank slate of unhurried possibilities. Justin had laughingly demanded that Robert do a long jump with him when they were walking past a high school field. Justin flew through the air and landed like a drunken grasshopper, then tauntingly demanded his father follow suit. Come on, senior discount! A nickname that had unfortunately stuck because Robert hated it. And Robert had to do the calculation. The benefit of doing a long jump versus the cost of hurting hips, ankles, knees, back. Hands and fingers, knees and toes, all can snap when young life goes. And he had to make excuses and realize that he had crossed over from youthful vitality to middle-aged caution, and that his body was no longer a machine to be taken for granted, but instead a kind of aging tank that had to be caressed and coaxed into lurching towards battle. And sleep was light. Robert felt in a state of perpetual fight or flight and could count the 1 to 2 seconds before waking up and various black flag worries unfurling in his mind. You dream of wading through a yellow speckled field and wake in prison. And the only few seconds you get of waking freedom is the fading of the flowers before the bleak frame of the steel bars. And the dreams, oh God, the dreams. Terrors and unease and flashbulb social exposure of personal crimes. Letters from his regulatory board referencing real estate and his boss Peter. His wife had tentacles for eyes and his sons had turned to stone. His food was transformed into gold, and all his doors and windows were welded shut with bird shit. And his arms were crossed over his chest as he skidded through water tubes that turned into fleshy intestines before he fell into an endless flaming landscape. And he had a dream of begging his brother Shane for drugs, in the hopes that wild waking visions would calm his nightly madness. His bed felt like a portal to an insane asylum where the doctors giggled and tightened various screws. And his doctor offered benzodiazepines, but Robert did his research and shrank back. And Helen offered massages, but quickly pointed out that Robert had the muscle mass of your average manatee, which made him tense muscles she still couldn't feel. And his sons fled to peers who had the dark language arts of drunk, stub-toed sailors with Tourette's. And they started using the kind of language that would have seriously gotten him and Shane beaten within an inch of their ungodly lives had their own father heard even a hint of it. But that was the scene. These days, apparently, innocent peach fuzz faces spitting syllables like a blind ape with a machine gun. And there was nothing to be done about it, since they were too big to beat. And as they constantly chanted, "It's literally not that serious." And they were always gone. And when Helen yelled at them that they treated the house like a hotel, Justin laughed and barked back that a hotel would have a better towel service. And did this mean they could finally get bedroom fridges? And there was shock and incredulity and constant complaints. All while knowing that kids these days is an endless cliche of the aging. And most of all, there was helplessness and a kind of supernatural fear of the callous and random young. And what on earth was supposed to happen when the aging got actually old and needed some kindness and fluffed pillows and pill counting and ass wiping? Well, said Helen bitterly, that's what immigrants are for, right? We don't trust our kids, so we have to pay foreigners. Robert's breath caught in the dark white room. The machines counted out the stair steps down to the grave. Who thinks of their heartbeat when they're young? Older, sicker, yea, verily unto death. Each beat is not a continuance of life, but rather a descending metronome of one less, one fewer, last few, last one. Who the fuck is that? Croaked the voice. The bars of moonlight streaming in through the blinds lit up Peter's silver hair, as thick as ever. Roberts was thinning, but his days would likely be longer. Trading hairs for heartbeats seemed a pretty damn good deal at the moment. Hey, Peter, it's me, Robert.
What the fuck are you doing here? Come to give me some work, bro?
No, your wife, she had to go and asked me to sit with you.
Jesus Christ, I'm dying. I'm not a fucking toddler. Go on, go out. Be in the light. Pull one out for...
Peter's whisper, crackle voice broke into coughs.
Easy, easy, said Robert, scooching his chair closer.
He forgot that the chair was on wheels and skidded into the side of Peter's bed. There was silence for a moment. Peter grimaced, his perfect crease lines folding into an origami of silver fox handsomeness. There was a slight vulnerability in Peter's next whisper.
Is it really dark in here, or are my eyes just fucked?
No, it's dark, said Robert quickly. You want the lights on?
Fuck no. Gives me a migraine.
There was another pause.
Well, you haven't been by so much. I can hear even when I'm out, you know. Eye in the sky, ears in the fears, head in the bed.
Peter laughed weakly.
Half your cases landed on me. Yeah, the cases, the company, the immortality.
Peter turned his haggard face to Robert, his sunken eyes already like skull holes, as if the bones were eating up the paper skin.
Jesus, Fiona put a slideshow up the other day. We watched it together. Fucking depressing. Me skiing, looking cool. Me giving a death mask blowing on a fire in Algonquin. Water skiing like a bragging asshole. Jesus, I lifted the eyes of others, Robert. That year I took up drumming. What was the point of that? No point. Just wanted everyone to point at me.
Tears escaped the older man's eyes, his brow contracted in woe and pain.
My kids, fucking vultures. They come by just enough to stay in the will. I want to leave everything to the Taliban, I swear. They know how to treat women. My lawyer says it's not enforceable. That's how fucking complicated it all is. I need a lawyer. Oh, we pile up books on the balls of the population, and it pays for all this end-of-life care. You know, they wanted to euthanize me, right? Give me the pain-free option. MAID. They call it medical assistance in dying. Like maids who clean up. I paid like $10 million in taxes, Rob. Then I need something back and they just come at me with a poisoned lance.
Peter laughed again.
I don't blame them. I do the same thing. We're just pets to them, and you put down pets, right? But they gave me a money printer. Endless books, rules, regulations, laws. Lay down enough fog and suppressing fire. You need a Sherpa to get to your own goddamn bathroom.
More coughing. Robert put his hand on Peter's arm.
Peter jerked it away. Jesus Christ, don't do that. I'm so fucking hopped up that every touch feels like the devil come to drag me downstairs. Those black-eyed nurses are like the minions of Satan.
We're just trying to make you comfortable.
Peter's eyes swiveled to him.
Do you believe in hell, Robert?
Me? I... No.
You know how it plays, right? The devil gives you everything you want. Nothing that you actually need. And then when it's too late, everything gets revealed to you. And the cost to come is unfurled. And all the benefits are shown to be bullshit. And nothing means anything. And a life of vanity and prestige and status is for... is for what? Same bed. Nothing but bullshit in your wake.
Okay.
How is that QP sex doll of yours? That cracked China bling bling?
Helen is... She's good. She's trying... She's aiming to be a life coach now. Wheezed Peter.
My wife wanted to open up a florist's. Then she designed jewelry. I think there was life coach in there somewhere too. And you have to do the marketing and make the website and fund it and finger lies into the spreadsheet and just
be supportive, honey.
Wives are the most expensive fucking hobbies men have. Consume, consume, consume. Money, time, attention, taxes, sperm, support. Vampires and black holes, the whole lot of them.
Robert wanted to ask his former boss exactly how many meds he was on, but refrained. Are you in a lot of pain?
Oh, they juice me like mad. I'm also adjusting. I'm like your brother.
Robert took a deep breath. Is there anything I can do?
We've often wondered.
Robert smiled. You want me to read you something? Find a movie? You want to talk?
Dear kids, listen to you.
Robert laughed. They pretend to if they want something.
Why? Why don't they listen? Really?
There was a pause. The machines beeped. The countdown continued.
I don't know, said Robert.
We're old. We're dinosaurs. We pay for everything.
But know the value of nothing.
Yeah, that's the quote.
But I feel like I have no authority, no weight. Like a god you can just disbelieve in. Like I'm there, not there. Like an ATM.
Of course, that's not just the kids.
Did you? Do you live a good life?
Robert took a deep breath. I provide. I help people. I give to charity. I'm productive. I've reproduced. I don't know what to say, really. You?
Oh, I fucked it up truly, gloriously. People are just things to me, Robert. You know when you try to open the kitchen drawer and the fucking spud masher is all like, no way, bro. That's people for me. I love massages. I still daydream about the last one. Of course, I didn't know I'd get the call 2 days later. And I was lying there, thinking, I'm paying for the hands to keep moving and the tongue to stay silent. If I could hack the hands off the body, Saudi style, that would be way better. You ever get a chatty masseuse? Fuck me. That's the worst. I don't want to hear about your endometriosis, you crazy bitch. Just grind my gears until I weep tears of blood under the floor.
Peter laughed.
It's literally not that serious.
Robert smiled.
So, I use people. I hear they don't like it. Just rumors, of course. If you have utility for me, well and good. If not, well, go chat with a masseuse and pretend you're in love. Oh, so that's what's so funny. I'm not of any practical use for my government anymore. My business partners, my friends, my family. My wife comes so she won't be seen as heartless. Just a theater of ghouls. My kids. You know what my fucking son said to me last time he was here?
Peter laughed bitterly.
Last time, probably. He said, hey, Dad, quick question. Man, I hate those girly, hear me out, social media passive-aggressive jabs. He said, hey, Dad, did you ever visit me in daycare?
Peter chuckled.
What does that even mean? How do you hold a grudge for that long? This was before webcams, but I always made sure he was okay. But Jesus, I said to Fiona, you better hang on to your jewelry, kid. You'll need to barter it for a Jamaican nanny to give you reggae sponge baths in your dotage. Yeah, I went out into the world and made my place. My lair. Why is that a crime? I thought my father's face was a receding bald spot for the first 10 years of my life. He was an anesthesiologist. He put everyone to sleep. Why did he tell me? Keep your wits about you, son. Great fucking advice. And damn, now at the end, I seem to have misplaced my wits. Ah, well, I should take his shitty advice to the grave with me. Who needs love when you have a new bike every year? Do you think I have treated you as a thing? Robert
paused.
Oh, come on, spill it. What am I going to do, take you to court?
Well, we had a professional relationship. You're a bit of a show-off, I get that. I'm that too, a bit. More than a bit.
That's Helen.
But you have a lot to show off.
I never prejudged my own abilities, kid. That's the real vanity. Thinking you know what you're capable of. You can just will things. And I wouldn't have to treat people as things if they weren't just sitting there in my way forever. Most people have the self-direction of a fucking statue, Rob. A log in the road. Drive over, go around, or just move it, toss it out of the way. I'm the only living soul in a world of mannequins.
Peter laughed.
I've talked more with you tonight than my wife in the last year.
Peter's voice broke.
I kind of hate her, Rob. Everything she says is a lie. Everything she has is stolen. I'm a vending machine. You only love the treats, not the cold metal spirals. Whenever she is looking at me, I know. She is thinking about snacks, you know? Everything she can eat when I am dead and gone and beyond nagging her about her weight. she's going to totally pull the pin on the fat grenade, Rob. It's going to be epic. She's going to end up in an intergalactic circus. They'll bury her next to me and the worms will all cheer. The moon will change its orbit. Bulk barns will close down. I'd haunt her if I could. Tell her to drop the fucking donut. But what if ghosts have noses and I have to smell that god-awful perfume of hers for eternity?
Robert opened his mouth, then closed it. He felt frozen, paralyzed, and had a strong memory of Shane, upstairs, trapped in the vortex of his mother's whirling words, sucked into the black hole of her lonely, dying mind.
But you're a good kid,
said Peter with sudden gentleness.
You supported me. You knew my secrets. Never betrayed me. You know, if you had reported me, I would have taken it. I wouldn't have turned you in. I think I wanted you to. I can't enforce my own rules. Who can? That's why we need God. A truncheon. Disgrace would have saved me from my family. Maybe I was trying to goad you into...
Peter's face crumpled.
Into making me a little better. Bro, you just followed me down, you son of a bitch. No resistance at all. Even the devil gets bored with such easy conquests. Like who wants to climb Everest if they lower it to 20 feet and put a fucking escalator in? Everyone I meet, my whole life I tempt and bribe and sniper empty threats, and everyone folds and nods, eyes shining in debt, and I clip another soul to my belt, and none of you! Ever push back or even think of doing the right thing and rescuing me from myself, from whatever is inside me that wants to infect others. And you knew I was doing the same thing every year to every new intern, to all the weak, shiny faces that fold into corruption without even a shred of a spine. And you were fine with that, Robert. Fine with me rolling like a combine harvester over endless fields of fresh souls as long as you got your mahogany office and fucking parking space. But the wood and concrete is made of hope and virtue and happiness. The numbers in your bank account is a record of the souls given up to evil, that you delivered unto evil. And that should give you comfort, Robbie boy. It does to me. How could I have been different if the world is always the same? How can the mama bird stop feeding if the chicks are always hungry?
Robert felt a deep bone shiver.
I want to turn the machines off to stop the noise.
Peter's voice dropped into a conspiratorial whisper.
But you did think of resisting me, didn't you, Robert? That's why I always talk about Helen. You know that, right? And you went home, and you lay in bed with your wife, and whispered about doing the right thing. And taking on the eternal battle. Ridiculous and CGI it seems to be in a world that has abandoned God and is abandoned by God. And you looked at the shadows on the ceiling and listened to your hot little Eve whispering that it was impractical to be good. And I had power and money and prestige and status, and we can't afford to take him on, honey. Be sensible, be practical, give him what he wants. This is the way the world works. There's no such thing as good and evil. There are only atoms and space and comfortable reproduction. And the world nails up those who try to do good
And I won't follow you off a bridge if you drive in that direction. And here are my boobs. And let's forget about all this nonsense and go and get the cheddar, honey. The soul is just an inflicted, made-up ghost implanted in our minds so we fight the useless battles of more cowardly animals.
Robert had ceased to breathe 30 seconds ago. Peter turned to stare at him. It was Robert's own face. And that is how Robert died.